This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The body of 29-year-old Patrick Nick of Tuntutuliak was recovered on Monday in an area where his boat was found overturned along the Gaylik River. Alaska State Troopers report a boater found Nick's body, and his remains have been sent to the State Medical Examiner's Office in Anchorage for further examination. Patrick Nick had been missing since September 4th, while he was traveling from Bethel to Tuntutuliak in stormy conditions, and had reported that his 20-foot-long boat was taking on water. According to the Alaska State Troopers, Nick's boat was found the next day by the Tuntutuliak Search and Rescue Team, overturned in deep water. In criminal justice news, a Fairbanks judge has issued an unusual order calling attention to what he says is a crisis in Alaska's criminal justice system. Judge Michael McDonald sits on Fairbanks Superior Court. He served since Sarah Palin appointed him in 2007, and he's now the presiding judge for the whole 4th Judicial District, a huge area that goes from the interior to the Bering Sea and includes the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. McDonald issued an order late last month where he castigated the public defender for a Mountain Village man accused of beating his girlfriend to death. But he says that case is just a symptom of a much larger institutional problem in Alaska's criminal justice system perpetuated by elected officials. APRN reporter Nat Herz reported on this story with Kyle Hopkins from the Anchorage Daily News. Herz talked about the story with APRN's Casey Grove.
Hi, Nat.
Hi, Casey.
So what's going on here?
So this is a case involving a man named Alexi Walters from Mountain Village, which is on the Yukon River. He's accused of murdering his girlfriend. The charges are pretty horrific. They involve alcohol, domestic violence, threatening law enforcement. There's nothing unusual, though, in the way that the case was moving through the courts until this summer when the public defender who was representing Walters quit her job. She was handling 200 cases, and as her boss described it, she hit the wall and left the case on really short notice right before it was supposed to go to trial.
Okay, sometimes people quit their jobs on short notice. Why does this matter?
Yeah, it really might not seem like that big of a deal, but the state had put in a ton of work to prepare for this trial. They sent people to Mountain Village to prepare witnesses and get ready for the trial, and then that kind of goes out the window. That's what they're saying, because the accused man has to get a new attorney who has to get all up to speed on the trial, and that can take months. And suffice to say that McDonald, the judge in this case, is really not happy. He says he has other cases that are similarly compelling where similar delays have happened. And so he calls this hearing where he brings the head of the public defender agency, the public defender for the defendant with her attorney, along with the prosecutors and the defendant all into the room. And he says, I want an explanation for what happened here. The public defenders say effectively that they can't offer competitive salaries that are keeping people from taking other jobs, and that they've got a travel freeze.
So this is the point at which the judge really gets started, huh?
Yeah, so McDonald, the judge here, starts by saying he's really, really, really upset with the public defender agency and the public defender in this case. He says that he recognizes the limitations that have been imposed on them, but he says that they really should be doing a better job to manage their obligations under the circumstances. And here is how he kind of summed up his frustration.
If the public agency's policy is to flog their attorneys to the point of exhaustion, that policy should be changed.
I take it the judge was not finished there, though.
No, in a motion that was later made by the public defenders, they described this as like a 17-minute diatribe, I think. He was kind of saying two things at once. He was definitely saying he was mad at the public defenders and this particular public defender for the way that they handled this particular case. But then, especially in this written opinion that he issued later, he also says, you know, I know that you guys are doing a sort of commendable work and working really hard, given that you've been dealt a really bad hand. And then so at this hearing, he kind of moves on to blaming the people that dealt that hand. That's the legislature and the governor, effectively. Here's what he said.
The record should reflect that the current political and budgetary choices have consequences, and the failure to vindicate the victims in the community in this case, and the failure to afford Mr. Walters his trial, are the consequences of those policy choices.
So he's really saying that this is a kind of institutional dysfunction, and he wants to make it clear that the dysfunction is flowing from elected officials who set these budgets and make policies about how the Public Defender Agency and the Department of Law, the prosecutors, do their business. And he makes it really clear that he wants people outside the courtroom to know about this and how it's affecting cases like this one, where there are these themes that are present that are really big ones in our public debate about criminal justice right now: crimes against women, crimes in rural Alaska, crimes involving substance abuse, that kind of thing.
And like you said, this is a pretty horrific case, but they're getting into some pretty big issues here. How often do you ever hear a judge in a criminal case talking about these kind of things?
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked to a few people about this, and I think from their perspective, just the length of this order, it was 37 pages on a question about whether the case should be delayed and whether the judge, the public defenders actually asked that the judge recuse himself from the case because he was biased against the agency. So, you know, to respond to that with a 37-page order, it sounds like it's pretty unusual. And then to kind of invoke these political issues is also, I think, unusual in a criminal case. The judge in the order acknowledges that those are beyond the court's purview, but he wants to at least say, look, these are having an impact on what we're doing here. And if these are the choices that we're making, people should know about them.
Do we know if anything's going to change with this case anytime soon?
Well, one thing we do know is that for about the past, I think, 5 months or so, there's been an acting public defender. There hasn't been a permanent person in that job. The longtime director of the office, Quinlan Steiner, said he was leaving in April. So the governor announced the appointment of the new public defender. And so, you know, the folks that I talked to at the agency said that this order will immediately make it to her desk and be considered in, you know, are there things we can do more efficiently or better, or et cetera. You know, as far as the budgetary limitations, the legislature will convene in January to consider next year's budget. And I think that's, you know, probably the first place that you're going to see these kinds of issues come up. And to be fair, there have been debates in the legislature, pretty intense ones over the past couple of years, about how much money do we budget for the public defenders, how much do we budget for prosecutors. And the public defenders have been saying for a couple years now that they're right on the edge of being able to fulfill, of not being able to fulfill their constitutional obligation to represent Alaska's poor people who can't afford their own attorneys.
All right. Well, interesting stuff. That was Alaska Public Media's Nat Herz. Nat, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Casey.
That was APRN's Nat Herz and Casey Grove discussing a story Herz reported with Anchorage Daily News reporter Kyle Hopkins. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yuktoon coming up.